Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. I'm Jim Galante. Along with me, HVU Executive Director Mike Villagrana. Mike, how are we doing, sir?
We're doing good today. You know, it's starting to feel like spring a little bit. So it's good. It's really good.
I've seen a couple of 70-degree days in the forecast, too, Mike, coming up. So I am pumped about that.
I don't know. The past Saturday was awesome. It was like the first Saturday, you know, that we've had that's been really nice like that. And I think we came out of the state Paddy's weekend clean. No trouble. I haven't seen, at least on social media.
Call that a win, Mike. Call that a win.
It's a big win. I got an email this week about the revved up law enforcement, and I was like, "What is going on?" And it's like, "Oh, state Paddy's. Forgot about it."
Welcome back to State College and the traditions, most of which include too much drinking. But
yeah.
Anyway,
well, after a thawing weekend, they think, you know what, we deserve a weekend.
That's right. It's just an adult beverage. Nothing wrong with that, Mike. Yeah, all right. Hey, let's move on. Like we always talk about, there's never actually time off in the college football world. One big event this past weekend, the long weekend, was the combine, where Penn State had some representatives there, Mike, and I think it was real easy to predict. We talked about it. Zane Durant, Denai Dennis Sutton both showed up, didn't they?
Yeah, Denai, he's a freak. Kind of like what we thought about last week when we talked. He's going to come in there. He's going to look pretty. He's going to look good. He's going to look like how they're going to want him to look. And then he tested out of his mind. So then, you know, his tape backs it up. So he just helped. All he did was help himself tremendously this past weekend. So along with other guys like Asazaki, Zane, running those fast 40s, Drew, seems like he's got some good pub coming off of that performance, which is really good because we didn't know last time we talked even if he was going to be able to perform. So that's really cool for Drew to be able to perform and do well. So, yeah, it seemed like everybody did well. I know the lineman worked out on Sunday, but I didn't see Vanga at all. But yeah, it seems like a really well represented from Penn State. Obviously, we knew this coming in this past season that, you know, the combine was going to have a ton of our guys. But always cool to watch that just from all around, because a lot of those guys you recruit from the beginning, so you get to see them and how they developed, and a lot of those guys like where they came from, the recruiting story. It's really cool to watch it over the weekend. I've always really enjoyed it.
It's also got to be, I didn't think of it that way, but you mentioned these are guys that you saw them as 16 and 17-year-old high school kids. Now they're 22, 23, working out like that. They're full-grown men now. And yeah. It must be amazing to you to see, like, the difference, like, their build, their body, even – what's amazing to me most is how they improved their speed. All of a sudden, their 40-yard dash is so much better than it was, say, as high school players.
Yeah, and for me, I'm recruiting when they're like 17, 16, and part of that evaluation is you're projecting their body style and their frame and what they can put on. And so then that's what you see. What you project is what you're seeing on during that combine. And the other thing is neat too, is like a lot of the guys that are in the recruiting space, you're tied into the NFL scouts, specifically me when I've had to be like the liaison. So with guys transferring so much, we talk a lot about other players that are other places that transferred, maybe a place I was, you know, because they're always looking for as much information as they can. So anybody that they trust or know, that can give them some accurate information, they're gonna seek that out. So that's the portal has changed that a little bit. There's more conversation, not just about the players that the scout is out at that school to talk about. They want to know about, hey, what about that guy Wallace that transferred to Ole Miss? How was he when he was here? Right. Like, so it's actually a lot more on the scouts too. But yeah, and you see all the scouts. This is like their Super Bowl going there. It's like, it's like a Super Bowl slash like Mardi Gras for them.
Oh, yeah. This might be overload of information. And it's funny you mentioned the NFL scouts. I had not this past season, but in 24, the Penn State Ohio State game, which so many NFL caliber players are on the field. It was one of the few in the press box. They had reserved spots for NFL scouts, and I didn't typically sit in my general area. Probably no surprise to many people. I sit where the food is. Okay. And that's where they put the scouts. And I didn't realize I wasn't supposed to be there, but I had a seat, and all of a sudden I'm surrounded by pro scouts, and we started to have conversations, and they were literally asking me about non on the field issues, you know, like, so is this a good guy or a bad guy here? How much do you interact with these folks? You know, who's the good guys? Who are the, you know, they were looking for character issues, thinking, you know, if they talk to anyone official, you'll get the company line. I think they thought maybe, okay, this guy might give us a scoop here on something. But it was fascinating to talk to them. And as the game went on, just how they were watching the game, so much different than how we would watch it or a fan would watch it. It was really fascinating what those guys do.
And a lot of the times they leave after a quarter, or a lot of the times they leave after warm-ups.
So they just want to see.
Yeah, so like Penn State and each school has, like, every organization has like at least three or four scouts, right? At least that are designated to each school. Some of those bigger games, like you get GMs that come in, you get directors of college scouting that come in. That means they are very interested in one of those players. And usually places like Penn State, you're going to get a handful of those guys throughout the season.
Well, what was funny was in talking now, the one scout, it was definitely for a team that would never get a high enough pick to get Abdul Carter. Mm-hmm. But his name came up. We were talking about some of the plays he's made. And he makes one of those plays that, you know, pretty much only Abdul Carter can make.
Yeah.
We just look at each other and he goes, shakes his head like, and we'll never get a shot at him.
You know? Yeah. Those are those no-brainers. He's legit. No questions there.
Yeah. There was no way his team was going to get to him. Talking about the combine, I think Drew Aller is just so fascinating because he's got, you know, five-star tools, as we know, coming in. It's a special arm talent. He looks like what an NFL quarterback is supposed to look like, you know, that 6'5", 230 or so. How did you react to a good performance in the combine? Is it the, well, of course, that's where he's going to look good versus on the field of play? What's your scouting report on it? What kind of NFL player do you think he would be?
I don't know. I could see him. I mean, after that performance, he helped himself out, definitely. Because like I said, I didn't know he was even going to be able to work out. So him be able to do that and then take the chance to work out there with receivers that aren't his receivers, because that's the thing, right? Like, you don't want to do that, timing, all of that. But he did it, and he helped himself out. So much respect to him, and I think he helped himself out in the minds of a lot of other scouts and GMs. But I think with his game, it comes to the mental side of it, right? Like, he made some big errors in some big times during his career. But look like the first round draft pick 90% of the times. But those like couple plays are just going to haunt him right now. So him getting in the rooms and the real vibe that he's going to get with GM during those interviews, to me, that's what's going to really make the difference on top of his good performance this weekend. But a lot of people, until we hear this week, I'm sure we'll start hearing reports about how his interviews went. But that's a huge thing, especially for quarterbacks. I remember hearing my one guy, he was working for Green Bay at one point, And he said, who's our guy with Arizona? Gosh, what's his name? The little guy.
McSorley, Clifford.
No, the Arizona quarterback. Cardinals.
We all know who it is. I know who you mean.
So he's like, Mike, that was the worst interview I've ever heard in my life. And
really?
I was like, okay, I could see that because, you know, he was getting a lot of pushback about playing video games and does he really love the game, this and that, whatever. But I mean, look at it now. Like, he had a really bad interview, was consensus, but his talent really trumped that judgment to get him drafted, right? And now look at it. Now he might not even be with the Cardinals next year. They're talking about the Browns. My Brownies may be taking him.
Kyler Murray.
That's right. Yeah. So, but my point is, like, these interviews, it means a lot. Like, it is a business interview when you're coming in there, especially a quarterback. Like, is this guy going to be able to take criticism? Is he all about social media? Does he love football? You know, like, it's, you're trying to figure that out.
Well, and quarterback, probably different than any position in any sport. He's the face of your franchise. He's the guy who, you know, you put out front all the time. He's the guy who sells your season tickets. You know?
And fired based off this guy.
Yes. So, yes. And if you invest a high first round pick as a coach, you know, your job is riding on this guy also.
Whoever that quarterback is, I mean, that's if you're looking for a head coaching job and you're out there, you're a hot name, you're thinking about, all right, who's going to be the quarterback, right? Like, oh, yeah. Las Vegas, like, it's Mendoza. Like, if you're going in that situation, you feel pretty good. You got a very almost a for sure bet right now that you're going to get a couple years with him. You know, you already got a good team around him. So, yeah, that's big. But if you got a, say, a jet situation, you don't know what the heck's going on. Yeah, it's not good.
Well, they're screwed. And I want to talk to you about that a little bit more after the break that we're approaching. Is after Mendoza, who's next? I think, you know, the quarterback Simpson from Alabama, I guess, is considered next. And he's not considered a top half of the first round.
I know. That's why it probably makes sense that he came out. They're like, yes, this is not a very talented pool of quarterbacks. You may be able to slip into maybe the second round, maybe be quarterback too.
Yeah, let's talk about that when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective, servicing over 800 student-athletes across 31 intercollegiate sports at Penn State. I'm Jim Galante, along with HVU Executive Director Mike Villagrana. Mike, we were having an interesting conversation about, you know, the NFL draft, and it kept going on in the break here. We were talking about the quarterbacks and how they get drafted. Coaches, GMs, they become stars or they lose their jobs based on quarterback evaluations. You brought up the New York Jets, who are like one of the most hapless organizations across any sport, because they're not getting the number one pick, not getting Mendoza. They're just kind of stuck there. They can't take a quarterback where they're at.
I don't know what I'm not worried about the Jets. I'm worried about the Browns, my miserableness of being a Browns fan. But at least as a Browns fan, I can say, well, at least we're not the Jets, right? Like, we have the defensive player of the year. We have the defensive rookie of the year. We have two quarterbacks. One, did you know Deshaun Watson is on his fifth year this year? This is his last year of that horrific contract.
Really?
This is his last year. Yeah. So all that guaranteed money, record-setting money, he hasn't played a snap. Well, he did play some snaps, but bad snaps, and then he got hurt and everything else. So, yeah. But, yeah, your point, like, Jets are in trouble.
Yes. And, well, you mentioned the Browns. Does Deshaun Watson have any chance of playing for them again or anybody?
I think so, yeah. This year is going to be the year. I mean, he's on contract. If he's healthy, why wouldn't you try to play him? And he'll compete against Shador. But I'm not a fan of Shador either.
Well, that it's such a tough – if you don't have a quarterback in the NFL, you don't have a team.
And no, unless you're the Ravens when they won it, or, you know, you just have some unbelievable defense. You know, like the year the Buccaneers won, that defense was ridiculous. The year that the Ravens won, that defense, I mean, what, has like four Hall of Famers on it right now at least? Like. Well,
But those are kind of the exceptions that kind of prove the rule.
Yep.
You know, what you typically see is, you know, Tom Brady and the Patriots, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. That's how you win. And it's, you know, the quarterback evaluation. And I always say, to the Chiefs' credit, they traded up to get Patrick Mahomes because they decided that was our guy.
Yeah.
And they were 100% right. What's going to be fascinating, and like you started to say this between segments, but Drew Aller, somebody's going to probably look at him and say, we could fix whatever else is wrong. You know, if it's footwork, but you can't, that's a big time arm that you can't teach that kind of arm.
Yeah. And he's been like the weird thing with Drew, like I was just looking at him, he just still looks like he has a body that could develop more. Like, hey, he just seems still underdeveloped with his big frame that he has. But yeah, like if you do a comparison to him, and I'll go back to my team, Browns, and they took Dillon Gabriel in, I think, the fourth. And like, so in, if you compared those two right now, and if they were coming out, to me, you take Drew every single time, you know, when you look at the comparison. You know, just physically, Drew, you're taking him over Gabriel. But and that was the fourth round. I would not be surprised if Drew continues and he has, like, his team and they, you know, they put him through the ringer with the interviews and the media. I would not be surprised if, you know, he slips into the second round right now. That's what I would say. I would not be surprised at all.
I wouldn't either, and, you know, I just saw, was it Mel Kiper, I think, has him as the third-ranked quarterback.
Well, behind Simpson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because if not, then who? Who else would you have higher? And I, you know, candidly, I'm cheating a little bit. I just brought up, like, the combine, some of the
Well, everybody wants to talk about Jalen, the quarterback from Arkansas, because he's a freak. He's a freak athletically.
Kalen Green?
Yeah, Kalen Green, sorry. So he – and then I'm, like, looking at all his stats. I'm like, oh, this guy's crazy ridiculous, like, with his athleticism. But then I saw his, like – I haven't seen him throw, to be honest. And I saw him throw. I'm like, oh, that's not good.
Well, I'm just looking up some of the numbers. Did you see his 40 time?
He's a freak. But it was funny. They brought that up. You know, like, it's funny because all the scouts, they know these guys are freaks. The freaks that they already know. They've been at the school multiple times. They know. But the thing is, like, you don't want to fall in love with him if he can't actually play the damn position. That's – can he throw the ball? Can he be accurate? Can he do all the things that you need a quarterback to do? So that's where some teams get in trouble. And they used to, what, make fun of the Raiders all the time. If you ran a 4-3, the Raiders are going to fall in love with you.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Like, that's the same thing. You can't fall in love with this guy just because he's a freak athletically. That's great. But you got to, yeah, it's, there's more than that. But like that Styles, the Sonny Styles kid, my God, that is a freak right there.
Well, the thing too is, what's Tom Brady's 40-yard dash time?
Oh yeah, you can always talk about Tom Brady, or you know what, the guy that's going to get a lot of heat. And I'm sure everybody's been seeing on social media is Cardale Tate from Ohio State, the receiver. He ran like mid 4.5s, which isn't, you know, super fast for receivers. But,
yeah,
you know, if the Browns took him, I'd be happy because he is a player. Like, he is a player. He plays faster than that. And that's what they always talk about during the combine too. It's like there's play speed. There's combine speed. Some people just – they have that extra juice, that extra gear when they get on the field. And you just don't know that. That's like the quarterback position. You just don't know until they get under the lights and they got, you know, they got all the pressure on the world on them. That you just don't know until that happens.
Well, it's a different skill set. At many of the other positions you mentioned, you know, the Raiders and wide receivers, yes, they love speed and have traditionally. But in the other positions – you know, you could see a running back. You see Saquon Barkley. Okay, is there a greater physical freak than Saquon Barkley? And those skill sets translate to running back. Completely different set of skills. It's not bad if you're a quarterback who could run well, but in your priority list, that's pretty far down the list.
Yeah, the decision making. The leadership, yeah. All the intangible stuff. That's like that's what I would prioritize. And I think a lot of people prioritize. And then when they have the extra athleticism that a lot of quarterbacks don't have with their legs, it's just a bonus, but he's got to be able to make the decisions when to use his legs and not to use his legs. Right.
Exactly.
So the decision-making, that's why, like, for how like different Mendoza kind of seems as like a person and a human, it's almost like a kind of a really good thing, an attractive thing to GMs, because you want those guys to be different. You don't want them to be a follower. I'm on social media. I'm worried about my chains and all of that. That's why I'm not a big fan of Jackson Dart. You know, like people love from a media standpoint, putting that on the pedestal, but the guy didn't win any games. Did they make the playoffs? No, but he got a lot of pub because he was arrogant. He had the chains and all that stuff. They loved that. That's not gonna equal wins. Mendoza, GMs, they want that person that's all about business, right? Yeah. He seems perfect for them, for the Raiders, because like he seems like a Tom Brady, kind of a different type of guy.
Yes, I agree. And by the way, the other part, coming from Ohio, making your way as far east as State College, where I am in Northeast Pennsylvania, we get a lot of New York news. Plus, being a Mets fan, I see a lot of New York news. Right. Okay. I hear way more about the Giants and Jets than I want to hear. Trust me.
Yeah.
And if you're in New York and you got swag, you'll get like the back pages of the New York Post. I mean, they will fall in love with you. Regardless of your talent on the field, you know, if you and I'm saying this because this is true. In the New York Post, you see headlines with him with who he's dating. Okay,
yeah, that's New York. Yeah, like New York wants that stuff, so they hype it up. You're right, but like as a Browns fan again, like I couldn't stand Baker. Obviously, can't stand Shador, because that stuff doesn't resonate with teams and wins and traditionally. Maybe I'm an old fart, but that's like kind of how I see it. And you know what? What else kind of bugged me? It was kind of funny about social media is when the one receiver did an interview from USC, and he seems like very weird, like just weird, and It was weird. It was weird how he answered it. And people, if you think GMs care about this, they don't. Yes, they do. They care about all of that. And so, like, an interview like that is going to be a red flag. Not a red flag, but it's going to be like, bro, why did you answer that question like that? That was kind of weird. Like, is this stemming from something else? Is there a bigger issue with this kid? Is he like that? You are looking for those red flags. So yes, that is a red flag the way they answered, because yes, it was weird. Okay, so what else is weird about this guy? And it's good to be weird, but there's a line that, all right, is he going to be a disruption in the locker room, in that position room? Is he going to be able to handle his functions? Like, because that wasn't a normal response. So yeah. Now I'm wondering, all right, what is this guy's deal? Because then he goes through, you know, the drills. He didn't run the 40, but he went through the drills. I'm like, oh, okay. I can see why people may look past that, because he is legit from a wide receiver skill set standpoint.
Right, right.
Now, character, I don't know, but I want to know why the heck did he answer that like that? It sounded very weird.
It because you put it right, the red flag, and I'll tell you what. You and I have spent a lot of time together now for the last year or so. And let me tell you one of the things that I picked up from you. The dude factor.
You gotta be a dude.
Gotta be a dude. And I know what that means when you say it. And I'm like, yeah, that is it. Are you that guy who's the dude on the field? You know, looking at Penn State, Trace McSorley was a dude, right? Dude.
Yeah,
that's, you know, it's obvious there's a certain skill set. Sometimes it's hard to define, but I now use that expression in describing players.
Yeah, man.
I realize that I got that from you. All right, that is it for quarter number two. Lots more to talk about right after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. The NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three of our show. I am Jim Galante. He is Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Happy Valley United. Mike, this has been our combine show, and I do want to move on to a couple things, but before I get there, a couple guys that we hadn't talked about was the running backs, Catron Allen, Nick Singleton. Catron Allen didn't do the 40 or do the lifting, those things. I really felt bad, though, for Nick Singleton, who's still in a boot with the little scooter, because he's a guy who probably would have just torn up the combine if he was at full speed and full strength.
Yeah, because his combine numbers is what he needed to show. But I don't know what the status of his injury. But yeah, him being on that boot, I don't know if he's going to be even able to work out during pro day. I'm not sure. But yeah, that sucks. I thought Catron looked decent. Didn't run a 40. Catron is Catron to me. I think Catron is going to be somebody will take a flyer maybe in the mid rounds, third, fourth, maybe. It's just, I think that position, you got to have another gear to take somebody for a team to take you high.
Like, yeah.
It's just, I don't know. Jeremiah Love is getting all the love. And rightfully so. You see him work out. He's different.
Well, and that's the thing where, you're right. I think if you get the, I'm looking up the numbers here for the running backs, but Nick Singleton would have excelled here.
Yeah,
and 100%. I'm, and this is just me kind of conjecture, but if he's still in a boot now, what is the pro day in about like a month or so?
Yeah.
I just can't imagine him getting the boot off and getting quite literally up to speed, you know.
Yeah.
Just real quick, Jeremiah Love. 4.36 40.
Yeah, and he's a big dude.
Yeah. Whenever you do 4.3 something, there was only one guy faster than him. Ironically, another guy from Arkansas ran a 4.33.
Yeah. But, you know what's interesting is you're seeing a lot of other positions that look faster than the running back and wide receiver positions. Like, you're seeing these defensive ends just freaks. Linebackers, the DBs always going to be fast, but yeah, there's not a bunch of blazers this combine at wide receiver, other than like one or two guys. The kid from Mississippi State ran, 4.26 or something like that, 4.27. There's a lot of mid 4.5 guys in there, which is not the end all be all. It's just you're not seeing a ton of blazers. But I like some of these times that these linemen and D linemen are running are just crazy. It's insane.
Well, the defensive end from Ohio State ran a 4.46, but the wide receiver, you're right, Mississippi State ran a 4.26.
Yeah. Yeah, he's smaller too, though. I think he measured like 5'9.5. Because they were comparing to Xavier Worthy, who ran the 4.2 something last year with the Chiefs now, but
yeah,
he's like 5'11.5. He's got 2 inches on him. But you know what the funniest thing that I got out of it this one? Was the Reuben Bain controversy in his arm length, because yes, that is something that has come up just through me being in my position the past 10 years. Is anytime somebody comes on a visit, we get his arm length. And then anytime we, maybe in the early stages of recruitment, we want to know what the guy's arm length is. But it's so, I guess, subjective is the right word, because who's measuring them, and at what point, like, because you got to take, you're starting the measurement from a certain area behind the shoulder, right? There's a certain area that you look for when you're looking for that area, like the socket. I remember Coach Losey coaching us up way back in the day. And, but after you get a couple of times, like somebody would come in for a visit and he'd measure in at 33. Right. All right. Now, a couple months later, fast forward, he visits again. You get measurements always when people come and visit. And then his measurements will go out there in a group message and it'll say 32 inches. And coaches would be like, how did his arm shrink? because it's not a very, it depends.
Exact, it's not an exact science.
It isn't. And some people rather go to wingspan versus arm reach. Like, if you watch Reuben Bain's film and you watch his combine, man, I have a hard time like that being the reason why I don't take him. I wonder what Dwight Freeney's measurement. I kept thinking of Dwight Freeney watching Reuben Bain because he seems a little bit more undersized, kind of like a Freeney was. But gosh, he has so much dog in him and such a big motor in him that I don't know how you don't. I'm looking past that arm length.
You know what? First of all, I've never given it any thought. Okay.
It's a huge thing.
Well, I know. And I've seen that and I've seen reaction to it, but I never gave any thought to, okay, how do you measure that? So, gee, if you're inconsistent, it would seem like, doing across fingertip to fingertip would be, that total wingspan would be the most consistent thing to measure and give you that same information. But if that's something that just seems weird to me.
Oh, it's bad, especially if you're going to be making decisions based off of that. Like, say if I had an intern doing it incorrectly during, let's say, a game visit, and then you're looking the post RSVP and you're looking at each measurement for each kid that visited. Well, that intern might have started it right in the middle of his back. And he looks like he's got Javon Kurse arms at like 37, And so then the head coach and everybody's like, man, he's got 36 arms. Holy crap. No, it was messed up. That was an intern that freaking did that. Or it could have been like, I remember one visit. I love this kid from Ohio. He ended up going to play offensive line at Michigan. But he came in on a visit. He's from Cincinnati. And his arms did look a little short just on film, just with his stature and how he's built. And they were, it was like 31-ish, something like that, 31.5 maybe. And that was the decision maker for, the coach just said, nah, that's too short for me. We'll move on. But who measured him that day, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, who measured them? It literally could have been 1 inch that made the difference of us saying, all right, yes or no, based off of that. So, like, it's not good. It's kind of, like, reckless when you really kind of think about it.
It really is. And to make a decision on a player based on that. Now, maybe if it's a tiebreaker between two guys that you have equally ranked and, well, this guy, you know. But it reminds me of years ago, we were doing a show with Ross Tucker, if you know Ross.
Yep.
Great guy. And Ross, I was talking to him about, I think it was quarterback evaluation, high school recruiting, and a 3-star, 4-star. And I gave him the general question of, you know, what's the difference? How do you get from, you know, a 3-star to a 4-star? And it may have even been during the time of Trace McSorley's recruiting. And he holds his thumb and his index finger about an inch apart. He goes, this is the difference between a 3-star and a 4-star. And I'm looking at, what's the height? You know, 1 inch difference, 1 inch taller, it'd probably be called a 4-star. And that has always stuck with me. And now the other guy, the Vanderbilt quarterback, Diego Pavia, he's 5'9", 5'10", and kind of a weird guy to begin with. What I love is Vanderbilt had him listed as 6 foot tall in their program.
Yeah. They didn't care, though, because he had it. He was a dude. Regardless if you like him or not, he's the type of guy that you want him on your team, but you hate him when he's not.
Yes.
He's that guy. He's that point guard that's not going to go to college to play basketball, but he's a dude on the court, and he just knows how to manage the court, manage everything. People gravitate to him. That's Diego. Those are guys you want. That's why I look at – I don't know Ruben Bain. I never recruited him, never met him. But based off his film, I want that guy on my team.
Well, that's the thing. I guess that's what makes scouting tough too, is how much weight do you put on each item, you know, what they do at the combine versus what they do on the field and what you see that way. I mean, it's – you know, I guess you got to count all of it. Yeah, this is what you've done, Mike. You've been part of that recruiting. Yeah. And I'm sure you've seen high school kids, you've seen their tape, you see what they've done on the field, but you also see them at camps, you see the measurements. I know there's no exact way to say what percentage this versus that, but how much of a factor is the dude factor when you might go and scout high school kids?
It's huge. It's real big. I think that's why I would get frustrated in the past doing this when a decision was made based off of non-factual things, non-data statistical things. It was maybe, you know, a position coach or the head coach just wanted to take that guy because maybe he was an in-state, regardless of some damning data on him. Like the kid is very short for that position, or the kid's just not very good. Right. Like I that's where I've always struggled. So everybody puts in a lot of time and resources into your ID, your evaluation system, the front office structure. But when you don't use that data and then you just rely because, hey, he's a 4-star in state, that's where I would always get frustrated with, because I've always functioned like we're, you know, a front office. So like when decisions are made based off of feelings, you know, it sucks, but you see it like back to the Browns. That owner called in way back when 2017 and said, all right, I want Johnny Manziel. Why?
Yeah.
Based off of what? You know, like what made you think he was going to be an NFL quarterback? Why? Because you like him and he did all the funny, cool things that everybody likes. Like, yeah. And that turned out really well. Because when you base your decisions off that, those kids, you don't ever get a return on them.
Yeah. Right?
They end up transferring and it's being a bad thing. So recruiting with your feelings is always a bad thing.
Well, that's going to be the final. I promised Mike we were going to talk about something else. All right. Fourth quarter, We're going to talk a little bit about Penn State recruiting. I've gotten a couple of items, text messages, emails and stuff, feedback from our listeners. I want to present you with some of that when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. The NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four of our show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective, serving over 800 student-athletes at Penn State across 31 sports. I'm Jim Galante, along with executive director over at HVU, Mike Villagrana. Mike, until now, we were talking about the combine, the NFL combine, mostly the Penn State players that were there. But I wanted to shift gears and let's get closer to home. Let's talk about Penn State and recruiting. And I need you as the expert here to talk some of the Penn State fans off the ledge. Okay. They see a graphic came out, and I just showed it to you between segments, where they showed the 2027 Big Ten recruiting rankings, where Penn State doesn't have a commitment yet, so they are ranked at the bottom. Of course, they don't have any commitments yet, and it translates into the concern. I'm reading you a quote from one of our listeners who sent this note in, where he said, "I hope they're good at adapting to the next level, because the competition is leveling up substantially." His point being, you know what? This isn't Iowa State anymore, where you take only three stars, coach them up, and you win eight games in the Big 12. So let's talk about Penn State's 2027 recruiting, where they're at, where this staff is at, and maybe you could explain to us also how it is a little different when you got an entirely new coaching staff coming in. That whole recruiting process starts all over again, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is part of the process of a new head coach at a new place. I've been part of it four times in the last 8 years with the new head coach. Spring comes, and depending on when the coach gets here, right, coach, it's a little bit different every year with the calendar, always getting, you know, pushed even back more. Coaches, we've had, two, 3 weeks. We were able to get a couple kids on campus for junior days. And so really, other than that and them traveling and going out, it's really only the groundwork that they were able really to be able to make. And now it's a dead period, or now it's not a dead period, but this month, you're going to see a lot of guys coming on campus. And usually with the new staffs, you build off of these relationships when you first get here into the spring. And then when spring comes, you usually get a couple guys that end up popping. But, look, recruiting's different now. I would warn people that really care about that stuff to not, or you're going to get frustrated because they don't care. Like they're going to, if the 27 class and is the last class ranked when it's all said and done, but we're winning national championships, that's all that matters, right? And that's what this staff does and prides themselves off of is evaluations. And I keep saying it, the way that kids are getting evaluated and the proportion of who you're taking from a transfer standpoint versus high school, it's changing like big time. I heard Mike Farrell, who I actually love. He's very depressing, very negative. He's kind of funny. He's saying, you know, he has his own business out there where he helps high school kids and gets them out there. He brought up the fact that in a couple of years, it's going to be D2, D3, that all these high school kids are going to have to go there and work themselves up to getting a scholarship or getting a roster position at a bigger P4 school. I thought that was interesting. I think a lot of people will laugh when they think about that, but also really kind of think about where we're heading right now. That's really not that far-fetched of a thought. But I would say, to answer your original question, I would say just hang on. There's a lot of things in action. This staff is recruiting, not just regionally, they're recruiting nationally. I brought it up, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago, coach, or 3 weeks ago, coach was in Hawaii recruiting. This spring, there's going to be a ton of kids on campus. It's going to be fun to cover. It's going to be fun to see everybody that's coming on campus, but also like see the new players out there moving around. It's going to be awesome. So this is going to be a really fun spring, really fun month going into you know, a new phase of the year. So yeah, I would not worry. I don't worry about that stuff. So I'm like probably the worst guy to ask that. I'm almost like kind of like I'm already kind of like a Coach Campbell and Derek Hoosier when it comes to that stuff. Like I don't get caught up in it, especially at the beginning of this transition. Like coach, it's been a crazy 4 months. But everything says that recruits are going to love Coach Campbell and his staff.
Well, the thing I think you just I'll start with the last thing you said about what's been going on for the last 3 or 4 months. He's had to recruit essentially an entire team from the portal and then restart, you know, to get any kind of recruiting class at all. You know, they went Penn State went through the December, the quote unquote early date, which is the actual commitment date. 90% of the players, and I may even be conservative there, commit then. Penn State had two in the recruiting class.
Yep.
And they had so many 50 players transfer out. They had to put together a team just for this year, which, by the way, this is my take. I'll ask for your take then. I think they got a pretty good haul in the transfer portal, which is entirely new for Penn State people. You know, it used to be you'd get a handful of players from the portal, but to get, you know, 30, 40 players from the portal is just unheard of around here.
Yeah. And look, you look at the first signing period, and a lot of those kids, because of the situation, we didn't get a lot of them. We signed two kids, right? But what have we been saying about the return on high school kids? You don't see a return. Not that you don't want to load up with those classes. You do, right? I'm not saying that you want to do that year in, year out, but you're not getting a return on those kids right away, yeah. Right? So that's just that's the facts. That's just the reality of college football right now. And then you have all of these guys that nobody knows about. Hasn't seen, you don't have, nobody's seen them out there in pads or anything. I know internally and myself feel really good about this roster. And I think everybody else is going to feel really good as they start to know these guys and get to see them. And you hear the buzz about practice and who's doing well. Half the people at Penn State don't know any of these names yet, you know? So
yeah.
These names still need to become household names, and I think that's what's going to happen this spring. And then when we go into the summer, I think everybody, as from a Penn State perspective, is going to feel pretty good about this roster going into the season, because it is. It's really good. It's based off of everything that they had to do. Coach Campbell and the staff, Derek Hoosier and the coaches and the entire front office did a phenomenal job filling the gaps where we needed to fill them. Now, next year, is there going to be some holes because we had to – you know, hit the portal so much, that's the part of the portal. It's going to be hard to be pretty steady right in the middle and not having ups and downs and on the roster. But that's why you got front offices now, and, you know, legit GMs.
Well, I do think also the style of player that's being brought in, the more I hear from these guys and hear about them, fans are going to fall in love with Rocco Beck. The running back is the kind of guy that Penn Staters will love. The tight end that they brought in is the kind of guy, you know, Penn Staters going to love. But it leads me to this question. So many guys, obviously the coaching staff, the offensive coordinator, the head coach, that Rocco Beck, the quarterback, the running back, wide receivers, the tight end, all of those people coming from Ohio State who know the system, understand the system, compare that with the defense with a new coordinator. And yeah, there's some Iowa State guys, especially at the back end. I'm really curious about those safeties coming from Iowa State.
Yeah.
But where I'm headed with this is that going to make that transition on offense a lot easier than the changeover on defense?
What do you mean? Because of the changeover on defense making it easier for the offensive transition?
Well, I just mean in general, like the offense, because he brought in a quarterback, running back, tight end, wide receivers who are all from Iowa State, along with the coordinator. Compare that to defense, where not quite as many guys from Iowa State, a new coordinator coming in. You know, how much difference is there going to be in that ramp-up time to get everybody comfortable? It feels like offensively, you know, with all those people in place, especially at the skill positions, it should be a pretty quick, easy transition.
Yeah, I would have said that last year. Like, look at us. Look at this offense. Oh, my gosh. We're going to put 60 a game. That's not
true.
But I would say,
oops.
Yeah, but the DC, I think it's a new scheme. I think everything is dictated off of how they implement it and how the players are able to respond to their type of coaching and teaching. I think that's, you know, that's what you're going to see. It's not. They didn't bring as many Iowa State guys. We still brought in a bunch of guys from the portal on defense. Yeah. So they're older guys, which is good. And plus a couple of those guys that stuck around that played as freshmen last year, will really benefit from spring ball. And right now, I mean, they're implementing and installing right now. So I don't see it being an issue, offense versus defense. But it is going to be neat to see the different coaching styles from an offensive standpoint to the defense standpoint. That's everywhere. Everywhere it's different. But to see the identity here, it's going to be pretty neat because defense is more of an unknown, because we kind of know that we're going to get that like pro personnel type of scheme on offense. Defensively, it's kind of an unknown what coach is going to do. So. Pretty excited to see it, but I'm excited that we have our defense coordinator that we have. It probably doesn't get talked enough about because, like, all my interactions with him, from a coaching standpoint, he's a dude. And everybody that knows him really well, too, just stands up on the table for him. Kind of like, you know, a lot of the guys on staff, like Coach Campbell, you never hear a bad thing about him.
Well, I think, and also, hey, he's a Penn Stater. So Penn State fans, you know, that's what they want to see. They like that.
He's a respected, like very well-respected guy too. You know what I mean? There's a billion players that's come through Penn State. But, you know, there's certain guys, when you say their name, people, you know, they recognize it and have a different kind of respect for him. And he's one of those kind of guys. And, like, when you talk about AZ, who we have internally, he's like one of those guys. You know, yeah. And those guys are like good friends. So like that chemistry, people don't see from the outside, but it's huge and it goes a long way, especially when it comes to recruiting.
It definitely does. All right, Mike, as always, it goes way too fast when we're together. Our time is up. Thank you, Mike. Thank all of you for tuning in. Make sure you join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.